promised me you'd keep in touch. I read your letter and it hurt me so much. I said I'd never be angry with you.
It is past 4 p.m. Something's wrong in the studio.
Did you hear that go in and out for a second?
No, I just...
Because I heard something.
I can't hear myself at all when the music's playing.
Okay.
And I can barely hear myself. Yeah, it's just weird.
Something's weird.
Something's weird in here.
Well, there's a buzz.
Yeah, there's a buzz, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay!
I mean, it's there, like...
Matt Pauly joins us. Maddie at the ballpark?
I am. I couldn't hear you when the music was going either.
Oh, there you go.
Really?
So it's not just there. It's everywhere.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Could you hear him, Wheels?
That's similar to what he was describing. Like the, I heard what Dave heard.
Yeah. People should text in and say whether or not they could hear Dave when the music was playing.
I mean, I could hear you, but it was like,
yeah,
drowned.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Maybe I was just playing the music too loud.
I don't know. You don't think you're doing anything like you don't normally do.
True.
Like today's different, and that's not what we're doing.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah, yes. I have not done anything different.
I agree. Matt and Wheels and I interviewed Bill DeWitt III and Anouk, who both got promotions today. And Steve Moore thought it was so good that we have edited it and we're going to replay it from 4:30 to 5. And it was a very different interview, right? Like three of us coming at it from three different places. And I thought he was very responsive and gave some really interesting answers. I think you'll enjoy it. So stick with us until 4:30 for that. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball. But then I think Matt sometimes likes not talking baseball. I would if I were Matt. So we'll do a little bit of that. And one more thing. I just want to hold up my book right here. Rach, you can't read it from there, but will you confirm I'm pointing at something I wrote last night?
Yes.
And we just put Wheels through the ringer because of his temper sometimes around the office. Just so you know, we love you and that I love you more than they do. I wrote, Kevin Wheeler could be a national talent today. And I know you've done national stuff. And this isn't to say anything about Matt or Aki or anyone else. I was just thinking about you last night when I was doing my show prep. You could take any job at ESPN on any desk and be great at it.
I think a lot of people could. I'm not trying to be humble. I think a lot of people that are trained like we are could get those if they had the opportunity.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of talent in the country that just doesn't get that break.
I'd also add, I think we've seen a shift in the industry lately where local jobs have become more important, and we have seen more and more broadcasters leave national platforms to go to local platforms. Like the impact of national sports radio is not what it used to be. It used to be if you wanted to hear sports radio, you listen to the national stuff and they were talking about whatever. Well, now if you're a Cardinal fan and you want to hear somebody talk about the Cardinals, you're not tuning in to national sports radio. You're putting a podcast on your phone and playing it through. So I think the media landscape has changed. Now, Mike Tirico is the voice of Sunday Night Football. You know, that's still a bigger job than any of us have. And there's a bunch of those out there. But I actually think a lot of the national jobs, kind of those second tier ones, are not as good as many local jobs now.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kev, tell us about the Athletic article about the 100 teams.
Yeah, so every year they do a poll of players. And eventually you'll get to them talking about which players are the best, who's overrated, who's underrated, who's the best teammate. Like they get to a bunch of things. Well, the part of it that was released today was the part where they asked 100 major league players to respond to their poll. They got 100 players to do this. And the two things that were rated today that they put out were which organizations have bad reputations amongst the players and then which ones have good reputations amongst the players. That's the story from today.
Yeah.
Well, it is an interesting concept. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think it's kind of sad the way that it comes out. Because it is in all the teams with bad reputations are teams that don't spend any money.
Okay.
It's the Rockies, the Pirates, the A's, the White Sox, the Angels, the Marlins, the Reds, the Royals. And actually, really, once you get past the Marlins, they're all basically the same. The Cardinals got two votes there, but that's the same as the Yankees. That's the same as the Brewers, right? But it's just – and then when you look at the teams that have the best reputation, It's all the big spenders. It's the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs. So it tells me that the only thing the players care about is money.
I'm
and not
surprised.
Just salaries, not just salaries, but like they want to be pampered. They want to have the best treatment for their families. They want to have the best travel and all this stuff. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I'm always disappointed that that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Like it's about money first. And not about how smart is your manager. How smart is your team at putting together a team? Like, why are the Milwaukee Brewers only getting 7 votes for the teams with the best reputation when they win every year? It's not even about winning or losing. The Mets are getting more positive votes than the Milwaukee Brewers or the Tampa Bay Rays or the Cleveland Guardians. Those 3 teams win every year, and the Mets are an underachieving joke every year. But to the players, the only thing that seems to matter is how much ownership spends on them, whether it's salaries, family, travel, and you know whatever other things that come into spending money.
How did we do?
Well, the Cardinals are not mentioned on the positive one, and they're only mentioned briefly on the negative one. So I guess they would be neutral.
Hmm.
They would be somewhere in the middle, which probably fits. Because they're not a team that doesn't spend. But they're also not a team that spends exorbitantly.
Yeah.
And it seems like the only criteria that matters in this question to the players is the money.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
I would push back a little bit on what you were saying, Kevin. If I was a Major League Baseball player and somebody asked me about teams that have good reputations and teams that have bad reputations, I would want somebody to ask me a baseball question for me to evaluate the team on how good they are at winning and losing and things like that. When I hear reputation, I think about the way I am treated as a player. And that would be, and a lot of times, the teams that spend the most money are the ones who treat the players the best. If you're the Dodgers and you send 2 planes on every single flight, you know, every single trip, because you know the players get to have their own plane and do all the, and all the things that kind of go along with those sort of stuff, that actually is what I'd be thinking of too.
Well, but I think it's kind of ridiculous in the sense that, well, of course they're the teams that spend the most because they have the highest revenue. It's New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Toronto. They're 4 of the biggest. They have the most money. So it's not like they should get credit for being in the market that they happen to be in, right?
But
I mean, you can't expect the Milwaukee Brewers to match the those types of treatments when you compare them to the Dodgers.
Okay, but you're not asking players to like take all that in. Considering the Dodgers are making this amount of money, are they pampering you enough? It's just it's a very raw sort of. This is what they can do, and the reasons for why they do it is not going to be considered when players are answering these questions.
And maybe, I feel like that's one of my complaints, is I wish the players would actually show that they care about something more than just how much money the owner can spend on their desires.
I don't know how you guys would know this, but do you think there's an element of it that the players from our childhoods they were more romantic about the league than the modern players? Like, someone might want to come to St. Louis for the history and the romance of it, whereas today they might just look at it and go, they don't have the best, AAA team or something.
Yeah, I don't think it was different in the past. I'm sure it was very similar. Different scale, but I think it would be similar. The draw that the Cardinals always had was that they were good every year. Like, that's what you heard from free agents. That's what we heard from Sonny Gray. You know, you want to be here because winning's the expectation and winning's what they do. And that obviously in the last handful of years changed, which is why the team went through the changes, because the way they're going to get back to that is to win more.
But also think about what Nolan Arenado, this is a great time to have this conversation with Arenado.
Yeah,
back
with him
in town.
Yeah.
He has been talking so glowingly about what it was like to be a St. Louis Cardinal and the way he was treated by the fans, the way he was treated by the organization, everything that went along with that. That wasn't connected to winning. That was connected to his day-to-day life as a ball player and it being a pretty positive experience for him.
Right, and you would think, based on that, teams that do those things would show up on a poll like this instead of just the teams that spend the most money. You know what I mean? Like, the Cardinals have always had that reputation amongst their players that people get treated well. Now, there are unhappy ones. There always are. And then there are some that are happy here that are unhappy somewhere else. Like, but so it does vary a little bit. But the one thing that I have consistently heard for 20 years being here is how much people like the way that they're treated here. By the ownership, by the fans, being in the city, things like that. And when you get a poll like this, it doesn't reflect any of that for any of these markets. It is entirely broken down by who spends what.
Yeah, and the fact that the Cardinals are not listed on the good, you know, they didn't even get the cursory vote in there. That would back up very much what you're saying right now, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard players leave here and talk about how awful it was. They might have had a bad experience from their playing. Like Nolan Arenado did not play well, and I'm sure he didn't enjoy a lot of the people like us talking about what's wrong with him. But he never had a complaint about how he was generally treated by fans, by the team, or whatever. I've never heard that where people are like, man, I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah.
Where I've heard that about other places.
Yeah. Matt, I lied to you. We only talked about baseball.
That's okay.
All right. It's a different kind of thing, though, right? It's not the same kind of baseball.
Yeah, a little bit breaking news real quick for you. Yeah. Mason Wynn, who is not in the lineup, a new lineup is coming. Wynn has been added to the lineup.
Oh, good.
Good.
So there you go. Breaking news.
Awesome. He's been swinging it well. It's good to see.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you, Matt.
You bet. We got a beat. We got a
good, good beat. We got a good beat. Welcome back, DGS 423. So earlier in the show, around 2 p.m., we had Bill DeWitt III, who just became the poopah today of Cardinals baseball and business. And Anuk, who also got a promotion on the business side, and me and Wheeler and Paulie interviewed them, and I thought it was really good, really interesting, very different perspectives coming from the three of us, and our boss thought it was good enough that we're going to replay that for you between 4:30 and 5. So if you haven't heard the news, Kev, just tell them what happened.
Yeah, essentially, it's the beginning of the process of Bill DeWitt Jr. kind of pulling back from day-to-day operations. He will still be the final say on big things. He will still be a part of all of the conversations about trade deadlines, budgets, things like that. But Bill DeWitt III is moving more into that type role, overseeing both business and baseball. And that's one of the things we talked about with him, which is, I thought, really interesting stuff that he'll get into about diving more into the baseball side, because he's been working the business. He's been in charge of the business side, which is a whole industry by itself.
Right.
So you don't really have time to do that. So this move allows him to dabble in both, to work with both directly, to pick up more of the baseball side. And then Anuk Kurunaratne moves from a VP on the business side to the guy in charge of the business side, taking Bill DeWitt III's old role, which allows Bill DeWitt III to do the more broad work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's essentially part of the succession plan, right? They've been setting this up for a while. This is just kind of the move that moves in that direction. I wouldn't imagine fans are going to notice a big change, and certainly not right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Bill DeWitt Jr. was the one who initially bought the Cardinals.
Well, he and his group, yes. They have an ownership group, right.
And but Bill Sr. was also involved in baseball, correct?
Back in the day. Yeah. Yeah. I think like way back in the day.
Yeah, like he met Babe Ruth.
Right.
Right.
Right, right.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, no, their family is entrenched. I mean, Bill DeWitt Jr. was a bat boy, you know, but when he was a child, not recently. Eddie Goodell wore Bill DeWitt Jr.'s
Did you know that, Rach?
Jersey.
No, the I little person that Branch Rickey
brought in for like back in the day when they would do weird stunts.
Yeah.
I think Eddie Goodell was something like 3'10" or something like that. And it was Bill DeWitt Jr.'s Bat Boy jersey that he wore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Through line.
Might have been the whole uniform, but it was like, they have that long standing baseball connection here. And, you know, there's always rumors about them selling or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't anticipate it. I mean, it's been the family business. They are really tied into it. And I think it was Bill III recently. I saw some comments from him. It's like, why can't Busch Stadium III be the next Fenway or Wrigley, the field that's around for 100 years, and it can be a landmark. It can be all these things. And that's part of why they want to do some renovations to it. They want to update it because you have to keep doing those things regularly.
Only about 30 seconds here, but you bring up something interesting. Will there ever be those stadiums again? Like things built in the last 20 years. Yeah. Are any of them going to be?
I mean, only if the owners choose it. I mean, you get new stadiums because new stadiums mean new revenue streams and usually means taxpayer money. But I liked hearing that, why can't this be a 100-year stadium? If you do the upkeep, if you're updating it regularly, well, then you don't need a new stadium.
Yeah, that's coming up for you guys.